meeting to order.
Please vote on the machine if you're here or not. Who's absent tonight? Mr. Kyle, Maureen Friedland, they're in, okay. We have a quorum. What? Somebody voted no. We'll stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible.
I'm supposed to remind you that there are cupcakes out here on the table. If anyone wants one, feel free to help yourself.
Who brought the cupcakes?
Oh,
thank you, Jay. That's very nice.
Who? Jay Johnson.
No.
What? Who? Okay. On your desk are some substitute minutes. The ones in the packet were incorrect. So under the consent agenda, this is the one we'll be acting on. So you're aware of it. Give you a couple minutes to read it. Also a reminder, tonight, the Badgers play at 8:40. Tara, they said you had something to report. Or?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It is my privilege to recognize four of our colleagues this evening. As we all know, but perhaps the public doesn't realize, for those supervisors who are not seeking re-election, this is the last meeting of this term of service for them. And one of those supervisors is unable to be here because of health reasons, but we want to publicly, on behalf of ourselves as a county board, the residents of his district, and the residents of La Crosse County for 12 years of service, recognize Bernie Maney. We also have three other supervisors who whose names will not appear on the ballot with the rest of ours in just a few days, and have served on this county board with distinction and honor, and we want to recognize you as well. First, and maybe Steve O'Malley, if you could come and help me, please, with the handing out and the officiousness of it. We want to present plaques in recognition of service to first Lyle Montgomery for 6 years of dedicated service to the La Crosse County Board from 2002 to 2008. Kind of glad Steve's gone tonight, actually. Makes it fun for me. We also want to recognize for 4 years of service, and the adjective I would use to describe this supervisor's 4 years of service is eloquent. That would be Supervisor Keith Belzer. Thank you for your service, and do not show this plaque to anyone on the way to back to your seat, if you would, please. But it also says, presented with appreciation for 4 years of service to the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors. Thank you, Keith. Oh, you probably get the box here. And last but definitely not least, It is my distinct privilege to recognize George Hammes for his second time around on the County Board of Supervisors, and this time around, 10 years of very distinguished service. We thank you on behalf of your district and all of the residents of La Crosse County. And I want to be sure and say that Chairman Doyle did not plan his vacation for this day, but for me as an individual, and I think I speak on behalf of the full board, it's a real pleasure for us to see you going out in that chair. Thank you, George.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Mr. O'Malley.
Yes, a couple of items, Mr. Chair. You notice that under the administrator's report, I asked you to bring your calendars to set a date for the county board retreat. We'll have the retreat after the April 15th organizational meeting. Obviously, any new supervisors will just have to adapt to this date, whatever you set. The dates that I've written up there on the whiteboard, rather than printing up an extra piece of paper to throw away, are the dates that coincide with staff schedule and the county board chair, Mr. Doyle, is available on those dates. So while you're looking at your calendar, and I'll look for some feedback, as you see, there are three dates in April that work, a Thursday, April 17th in the morning, Tuesday, April 22nd in the morning, Tuesday, April 29th, either a.m. or p.m., and May 8th, either a.m. or p.m. This ties into coincides with other meeting schedules and that type of thing. So the question is to see if there's some preference that we can set that and then go ahead and get a place for it and those types of things. In the past, what we found as we've done this each year is that a half a day seems to be the most that people want to do, but it gives us a chance to group together as a new board and talk about priorities and direction and also set the stage for a lot of our policy planning meetings. Tom? So, Mr. Chair, I don't know how we want to start out with this.
Tom?
Just a question to help me make my decision on this, and that is, will there be handouts or other information distributed in advance that we'll need to attend to that we might need a little bit of time after the organization meeting, knowing which committees we're on, what our assignments might be, and things like that? Or is it pretty much just go to the retreat and we'll work it from there?
Actually, during the organizational meeting, we'll get your input. We'll talk about a suggested agenda for that and try to be responsive to the new board on what they want to see happen at that retreat. But in the past, what we've done is that the chairman and I have actually presented something and said, here's the things we think we should be talking about, and then we try to get as much feedback as possible. If people say, don't have that agenda item, but make sure you have a report on this, and then we try to make it as interactive as possible.
Then in that context, I would ask, if the organization meeting is on the evening of the 15th, right, and the first opportunity here is on the morning of the 17th, is there even enough time to respond to those kinds of instructions for preparation, or should we be favoring the 22nd or later?
It would be easier for staff if it was later, but we want to be responsive to what meeting works best for you.
Okay, thank you.
Any suggestions on dates?
April 29th.
Mr. Hersham says April 29th.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is there some reason we couldn't have it on a Friday? You know, usually we had in the past had it on Friday mornings. You know, and I know you don't have that listed, I believe, for any Fridays.
There were some conflicts because of Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Mr. Doyle teaches a class, and his class, I think, starts at either 11 or 11:30, as I remember. So we were trying to tie it into his schedule. So that was the main reason that I came up with these dates tying in with his class schedule.
Okay. Thank you.
The 29th. Anyone else have any other comments on that? Mr. Ebert?
Yeah, I think either a.m. or p.m. we should probably decide that, because that probably has something to do with the day also. My preference is p.m. because some of us work for a living.
Ooh. Any objections to the 29th and the p.m.? No, that's it.
The 28th, 28th, Tuesday.
The Wednesday.
Yeah, Monday the 28th is PRD.
Okay. Monday the 29th in the PM.
Tuesday the 29th in the afternoon.
In the afternoon. Settled.
Can you get
some
no.
We will give you more information. We'll find the place. Quite often we've had a meal, so we'll end up talking more about that, and at your organizational meeting we'll get more specific.
Noon on, let's say, right now.
Noon?
Yeah, just say.
Say noon right now. Okay. I like that. A man who can make a decision.
Is that what he said?
Noon. Noon.
Yeah, usually we've had a meal, right? Okay, so that's done. I'll move on to the next item. For those of you that are interested, the completed input on the county administrator's evaluation is available with Cheryl Steffens, the county board chair secretary. So if you want to see any of the details or review that and see the detailed comments or the evaluation. And then so just contact her at your own convenience. Finally, an announcement, and next month we'll actually have a formal recognition and plaque presentation, is that the Government Finance Officers Association of America and Canada has awarded again for the second year in a row the Certificate for Excellence in Financial Reporting to Gary Engelson and his crack finance staff in our finance department for the second year in a row that we've received this. So it's quite an achievement. But next week... So, again, this places us in the top 5% of government finance agencies and local government across the nation, and we'll have a more formal recognition at your April meeting. That's all I have. Oh, Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, one other item. On your desk is an invitation to the 6th Annual County Collaboration Conference. We've got a distinguished outside speaker talking about sustainability and specifically steps of energy conservation. Generally, we've had a great turnout of business leaders, as well as elected officials there. It is on Thursday, April 24th. I understand that there might be a conflict with the PRD tour, so maybe we need to revisit how that happens. But this has been set. There's an outside speaker that's coming. It's one of those collaborations that's happening between us and the city as well, and is the 6th annual event on energy conservation and sustainability issues. So please, if you have time, to consider attending that. We've had good attendance from board members before, and I think each one of those we've had a good learning experience for all of us on the topics that are there. And that, finally, is my last comment. Thank you.
Okay. Appointments, Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have two appointments on behalf of Chairman Doyle. First is to appoint Liz Nutter to the Winding Rivers Library System Board of Directors to replace Tom Rauch as citizen member for the balance of his term expiring 12/31/09. And the second is to appoint George Hamas as the first alternate on the Board of Adjustment, filling the vacancy of Terry Houlihan for the balance of the term, also ending 12/31/09. I move their approval.
Is there a second? Seconded by Leon Paff. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried unanimously. Consent agenda, Mr. Plesher. Seconded by Mr. Sobranek. Any discussion on the consent agenda? Mr. Jeff Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Bear with me. I'm looking for my notes. Too many pieces of paper on my desk.
Huh?
I'll just do this from my head, I guess. One was on the jail construction committee, and it was the size of the area used for the probation parole, state probation parole. And I figured that out, and that's over, it was 400 and some odd square feet per, evidently, person, cubicle, whatever you're going to have in there. That's a lot bigger than most people's living rooms. Is that a misprint, like the 56,000?
I'm sure we can respond to that as we're actually dealing with the design, but it includes expansion space more than the space that they have right now, and that was at their request. But I'm just doing that from memory. I know that currently with the existing staff, they would probably need in the neighborhood of 78,000 square feet, but from memory, I believe that they're asking for more than that for future growth. So I wouldn't do math about how many probation officers they have now in relation to what they're requesting. They're asking for more space for future growth.
Yeah, that was the space that they were asking for the amount that they were expecting to be in there.
Well, again, recall that we have not made a commitment to them yet. That will be a decision that will come back through this body.
All right. And then also, when they had the shoreline, no, it was the... Shoreland zoning review or something. There were only two people, is that right, that spoke? I don't know which. I don't have my notes here, and I can't remember what committee it was, but there were only two people to speak to it. One, they had a review of the ordinance coming forth here on our. Is it shoreland zoning?
Floodplain.
Floodplain, yeah. There you go. There were only two comments, is that right, for the floodplain zoning?
Yes. Anything else?
No, thanks.
All in favor of the consent agenda, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried unanimously. Planning, Resource, and Development, Terry Henson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have item 4-3, conditional use permit number 769, filed by Brian and Dennis Strupp to store equipment inside and outside associated with trucking in the town of Holland. I've had a request to refer this back to committee, so I'll make a motion to refer this one back to the committee.
Seconded by Tom Rauch. Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried unanimously.
I have item number 5, Lant 3, zoning petition number 773, filed by Garrett Oplin, also doing business as Kenneth and Elizabeth M. Harold Trust, to rezone from traditional agriculture to agriculture District A in the town of Shelby. The committee voted in favor of it unanimously. I move the report.
Motion for approval of the committee report. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by, who seconded it? Don Meyer. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried unanimously.
I have item 6-3, termination of conditional use permit number 667, brought by La Crosse County Zoning Plan and Information Department. Permit was issued to Stephen and Robert Barr to operate a septic pumping system. Reasons for termination, with Barr's indicated business has not been in operation for over 12 consecutive months. The committee unanimously approved it. Make a motion to approve the report.
Seconded by Mr. Bina. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried unanimously.
I have item 793, termination of conditional use permit number 420 by the La Crosse County Zoning Plan Information Department. Permit was issued to Nina Shrum to operate a house cleaning business with one van down at Campbell. The reason for terminating, again, was the owner indicates the business has been operated since March of 2005. I move the report.
Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Don Meyer. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried unanimously.
I have item 8-3, termination of conditional use permit number 431. Termination number 16, filed by La Crosse County Zoning Plan and Information Department. Permit was issued to Harry Column Jr. to operate a plumbing business in the town of Farmington. The reason for termination was business not been operated in over 12 months. The committee voted unanimously to terminate. I move the report.
Seconded by Mr. Meyer. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried unanimously.
I have item number 993, termination of conditional use permit number 620. Termination number 17, filed by La Crosse County Zoning Planning Information Department. The permit was issued to Ronald and Jeff Black to operate a mobile service business in the town of Washington. The reason for termination has not been in operation for 12 consecutive months. The committee voted unanimously to terminate. I move the report.
Seconded by Mr. Bina. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried unanimously.
I have item 10-3, termination of conditional use permit number 685, Termination number 18, filed by La Crosse County Zoning Plan and Land Information Department. The permit was issued to Ronald Tiffany Black to operate a mobile service business in the town of Washington. The reason for termination is business has been out of operation for 12 months. The committee voted unanimously to terminate. I move the report.
Seconded by Mr. Bina. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried unanimously.
I have item 11/13, adoption of amendments to La Crosse County Development Plan 2020 for the town of Shelby, whereas La Crosse County, in partnership with the towns of La Crosse County, have acted in public interest in accordance with state statutes to prepare a county development plan to serve as a guide for land use directions to assure the development of public and private land use and appropriate relationships, and whereas state statutes state that a county development plan may be adopted in whole or in part and may be amended by the county board, and whereas the town which has proposed this amendment has held public participation activities on a specific town plan amendments, and the issues raised during these public hearings have been reviewed and considered, whereas because the La Crosse County Board has a regional viewpoint in land use decision, there is a likelihood that both the county and the town will not agree on all points in this plan as amended, but the general goals, information tools, and recommended land use as delineated on the recommended land use type map are agreed to with this resolution. Now, therefore, be resolved that the La Crosse County Board hereby amends the La Crosse County Development Plan 2020 to include the proposed town amendments of the town of Shelby as a guide for future development activity and to aid the county board in performance of its duty. The committee passed it 6 in favor, 0 against. I move the report.
Seconded by Tara Johnson. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried unanimously.
Whereas, in partnership with the towns of Cross County, has acted in public interest in accordance with Wisconsin to adopt the Cross County Development Plan 2020 to serve as a guide for land use decisions, improve the development of public and private land use and appropriate relationships until a comprehensive plan is adopted, and whereas the county development plan may be amended by the county board at a request of a town board, whereas the Planning Resource and Development Committee has held a public hearing on the amendment to the development plan by the town of Island, Alaska, and recommends approval of said amendment to the county board. Now, there be it resolved that the county board hereby amends the Cross County Development Plan 2020 to include the amendment of the town of Onalaska from the land use classification of agriculture preservation to conservational residential for the right property as delineated in Exhibit A as a guide for future development and to aid the county board in the performance of the duty. I move the report.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Bina. Discussion. Vicki?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to make some extensive remarks about this resolution, the resolution coming after this, and then the one that will come up later, since all three of them involve the town of Onalaska, supervisor in that part of the town of Onalaska, and so I'm going to be referencing some materials that you received in your packet. The remarks really apply to all three of the resolutions rather than just the first one, but rather than say the same thing on all three, I'm going to just make the remarks one time and then point out specific things. I see that zoning and has provided maps to of this particular area so that we understand what we're talking about. And I'd like to thank Supervisor Ebert. He was one of the one supervisor who took the time to call me and came out on the prairie, since he didn't have as much of an information about it. So that's good, because if he hears me say anything that wasn't true about that area of the town of Onalaska, he can, and I'm sure will correct me. I really, I've lived in La Crosse County for probably 45 years out of my life, and so it is important to me. Okay, the information that you have in your packet, I'm going to make some comments which apply to all three of those resolutions. And for people who don't live in the town of Onalaska, remember that, and I think maybe others will point this out, it impacts all taxpayers in La Crosse County, that no man is an island and no place is an island. And although when you look at the makeup of Bryce Prairie, it looks like an island because it is surrounded by water, either the refuge area, a marshy area as you come across onto Bryce Prairie, the lake, and the Black River. And so it's really kind of a unique area. Probably there's no other area like that in the town of Onalaska. The resolutions 12-3 were approved on a vote of 4-2. Resolution 15-3 failed in committee, and one abstention, and that dealt with the lands on Bryce Prairie. These two resolutions alone would impact 278 acres on Bryce Prairie. And they're talking, the first one is for the 10 acres. I realize that, the Todd Wright situation. But I think you have to think in totality what this means. This is almost 1,000 acres in all three of these resolutions. And in those that apply to the Bryce Prairie area of the town of Onalaska are 278 acres. Note the chart on the back of the 12-3. You have that right now. You have the chart. That is the threshold chart. And this is an estimate of the amount of land needed for residential and non-residential acres in the town of Onalaska next 10 years. And really, those numbers were arrived at, and I'd probably like to say this five or six times, that they looked at past performance and what and how many in the last 10 years, I believe it was, the amount of land needed or used, and then they doubled that amount in getting those thresholds. So it is a very generous idea of what the need might be. But notice for the town of Onalaska, it says 840 residential. Now, this is over a period of 10 years, I believe, and Charlie can correct me if that's wrong. You know, we've always, as a community and as a country, supported keeping land in agricultural to the tune of much subsidy money to help farmers with different crops, whether it be a corn, soybean, whatever. And hundreds of thousands of dollars come in to make help individuals who are in agriculture continue that. So we, as a government and as a nation and as a community, have supported that to the tune, for example, from 2003 to 2005 in La Crosse County at $2.9 million to over 629 individuals in La Crosse County over those 2 years. So this does touch all of us because we are saying that that is an important thing to us. There's a community benefit in keeping lands in agriculture, and so as a community, we supported it. In neither the public hearing in the town of Onalaska nor in the public hearing at the Planning, Resources, and Development Committee was there any evidence that these changes were needed to benefit the community. As a matter of fact, and as you can see from a letter by Mr. Fisher in your first one of your packets, that is one where he has a cover letter on it. It's addressed to me, and it indicates the questions that he submitted to the town of Onalaska. He submitted these questions on five occasions, and they were not answered and actually ignored. The comprehensive planning law, and I have a copy of that, states that someone must be available to provide additional information on amendments. There was no discussion on supply and demand for land, environmental issues, transportation analysis, and school-related impacts, all which should be addressed. To me, we think people should be able to do whatever they want with their land does not address community benefit. The town did not present to the Planning, Resources, and Development Committee any community need, nor did they really cooperate in providing some other material needed to support these resolutions. In your packet, you received material from the public hearing held on Monday, March 3rd at 2 p.m., not a convenient time for a lot of people. Of those speaking in favor, four would benefit financially from the amendments. The second inclusion addressed to me with a cover letter from Gary Fisher includes information from public hearings in the town of Onalaska and copies of letters received, 12 opposed to one supporting the amendments. And that's one of the packets that you have, not the packet that was provided by our zoning, but the other packet that has the letters in it. First of all, what is the need for single-family lots in the town of Onalaska? In 2005, there were 26 single-family dwelling building permits issued with an estimated $179,539 per home. In 2006, there were 13 permits. This is in the town of Onalaska, not just on the on Bryce Prairie, in the whole town of Onalaska. 13 permits at $189,900, and in 2015, single-family permits, and in at a cost of $126,810 as an average cost for the home. This reflects the housing market at this time. Does it indicate a need for more lots on the prairie alone? Now, we're talking about currently on the prairie alone, there are 39 lots, and Ray can attest to this as we passed a subdivision that has been there for several years. And this was a piece of property that Mr. Pedretti, one of the people involved in these petitions, did sell for developments. I point that out to you to indicate to you that it's not keeping that there has been no development by these individuals. They have had an opportunity to sell. That was 40 acres that he could sell, and that it has been developed into a subdivision. But it has 40 lots in it and only one house there. And that house is a model home. It isn't a house that, it isn't one that is owned by anyone. And when I stopped in there a couple weeks ago to ask the person who was handling the open house that day in the model house how many lots in that subdivision had been sold, he said one, and that there was one pending. And then I asked him what the price was on that home that he had, this single model home. He said $272,000. Now, as I just told you, the single building permits from the from those previous years, the average homes were 179, 189, and 126. $272,000 is a steep price, I think. And I live out in the same area, and so I have an understanding of the prices there. There are 110 lots available in the town of Onalaska, and on this one subdivision alone, there are 39. So it doesn't really indicate that there is a need for that kind of development. Not far from these very lots, about 3 miles as the crow flies in the town of Holland, there's a subdivision called August Prairie. It has 96 lots in it, and it looks to me at least 85 of those are still empty, and it's my understanding that there are almost 400 lots in the town of Holland alone. So right within this very area, there are already these numbers of lots. Lacking at both the public hearing in the town of Onalaska and the hearing before the Planning, Resources, and Development Committee was any information relating to the demand for these changes. I feel it is not supported by county staff, the finance director, or the county administrator. You can see that on the resolutions, and I'm sure they could speak to that. I included a page from the town of Onalaska comp plan because I wanted you to see the number of people who participate in the survey. It's a third page in that packet that has my cover letter on it. And 40% of the people responded. That's a huge response. If you send out a survey and you get 40% response, you should be thanking your lucky star, because they sent out 1,855 surveys to every address, and 740 surveys were returned. And you see the results there as far as what people felt and the residents felt about their particular town. Some other things that make it unique: there are two access roads onto the prairie. Both of those cross wetlands, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife and the bike trail. There's a privately owned boat landing and a public landing across from the park that are used heavily by hunters and anglers. The lake is a really important resource for the county, and the soil on the prairie is very fragile, and much of what goes in the ground travels quickly to the lake. All homeowners and businesses have their own septics and wells. Notice that on page 4 of the Bryce Prairie Plan, and I put the Bryce Prairie Plan in your packet, page 4 of it talks about when they did this plan for Bryce Prairie alone, they actually had a panel of environmental experts look at the situation in that area. Now, this plan that was put together for just Bryce Prairie, now, after they did their comprehensive plan for the whole town, they concentrated on this area because of its uniqueness. And they did an environmental and emergency service and a transportation study. You can see the results of that in the material I gave you. Of these features, the one thing that was pointed out by those who studied the environmental issues was the water, and I pointed that out in the letter that I put on your on the cover letter, and that that really made develop was the one thing to watch. Now, we never know when the tipping point is, but certainly having open area for recharge of water, and we talked just a few days ago about sustainability, and really that's a very important. If we believe in sustainability, then we have to look carefully at that, at this. In taking Supervisor Ebert on a tour of the prairie, one of the places that I did take him was at very tip of the prairie. Now, you can see it on that one map up there. It'll be to the left there, just as you're getting toward the end of the prairie. The prairie's kind of like an island, and on one side you have that marshy area. You can see it coming around this way, and then the Black River is in the back, and then the lake is on the other side. And it's pretty much gravel, sand and gravel land, although let me tell you that the farmland that is there is very productive. Mr. Pedretti and his wife, who own the farm there, they do irrigate, but I'd have to say that they have some of the best crops that one could see. And I was raised on a farm, so I know crops want good corn when I see it and bad corn when I see it. And so it has been very productive for him. But right toward the end of the prairie there, I took Ray to the site that's a Superfund site. And this was once the site of the town dump. And this is just to indicate to you that we made mistakes in the past in what we've done with the land. And this is really kind of a strange area. We drove in. It's like it has fences and has monitoring wells coming out of the ground. It looks like some strange kind of area. And there's a building there, and it says keep out, and there's another place that's it's for monitoring the water that comes out of that particular area, because during the 50s, and I'm sure 50s, they allowed people, two businesses on the prairie and some businesses from town, some institutions, to come out to the prairie and dump things there that eventually rusted. The barrels rusted open. Some of it may have been medical waste, whatever, and it contaminated that area that is very near the Black River. I'll let Ray tell you how many feet away, because I'm very bad at that. But it's very close to where the Black River kind of forks there and goes into the lake. And the question is, do we want to go back to the 50s, which is what taking almost 1,000 acres and putting it in one fell swoop into residential and conservation residential and conservation commercial or conservation development. For that reason alone, when you look at that area, they have, when they had the plan, they tried to keep that area free from development simply because of the extensive damage that had been done to the land already. And the question is really, do we want to return to the 50s? There was an editorial by Chuck Lee who quoted Professor Tim Baldwin, who wrote about the northern woods in Wisconsin, and how that became a tourist and recreation area. And to me, that Superfund really represents the mistakes of the past, that the town and the county allowed towns to have dumps. Now we have a facility for handling the waste, and we recognize that has to be handled properly. In that editorial, he said, and I think the Superfund really represents the mistakes of the past, but the one thing he says is the present is tomorrow's past, and that we are the regional planning authority, and I asked you, in looking at these three resolutions related to the town of Onalaska, that you reject them. Thank you.
Mr. Ebert, since your name was mentioned, I'll give you a chance to...
I'd just like to thank Supervisor Burke for her time. It's one of those tough ones. I looked at it that the three people that voted for the plan originally were all beaten in the next election, which certainly says something, and being one that certainly favors township over Big Brother County, I'll probably be voting for it. But I certainly want to thank Supervisor Burke for her time and only slight arm twisting.
Mr. Paff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, all board members, for being here and about to take this important vote. I want you all to recognize that the next three votes that you're going to be taking are really important, and they impact all the people that live in the town of Onalaska and own property in the town of Onalaska. I just want to say, as someone who represents a portion of the town of Onalaska, this is an extremely emotional, intense, raw issue in the town of Onalaska. Extremely, extremely intense issue. As Supervisor Ebert previously stated, the town of Onalaska, previous town board, passed a comprehensive plan. And as all of you know, we are asking our townships to pass a comprehensive plan. When they passed that, there were public hearings. Obviously, there was a variety of opinions that were shared with that. Comprehensive plan was passed. Last April, three out of the five members on the Town of Onalaska board were defeated. We have a new town board. What you see coming before you is as passed by the new town board. Now, the new town board has worked very hard with the residents as well. They have had hearings. Now, there, as Ms. Burke has stated, there has been many questions that have gone unanswered during some of these hearings. Many issues have been brought out. I want you to think in the terms of personal property rights versus the concerns of the larger community, if I may say. Without a doubt, again, without a doubt, everybody in the town of Onalaska absolutely has an opinion. They love the township because it's large, it's broad, it has a mixture of wildlife and productive farmland. It's got it's got its own sense of community in who it is, but I just want all of you to know that this is just not some simple vote that needs to be taken. This vote here is going to impact, again, not just the people that live in the town of Onalaska, but also the people that surround the town of Onalaska. You have in your packet comments from the village of Holman. You also have, if you don't have in your packet, you should have in your packet that anytime you start talking about something like this, it has an impact upon the school district. And all of you are aware that the school district of Holman is rapidly growing. It's building new schools. It's doing its school board. Its school administration is doing its very best in order to try and keep up with this very, very intense issue. All I can tell you, I cannot tell you how to vote. I would strongly encourage you in your vote to recognize that this issue is extremely, extremely important in the town of Onalaska. It depends on who you speak with, where they stand on this given topic. I know from having represented part of this area for a little over a year now, I know about its intensity. I know about the extreme love that these people have in the town of Onalaska. And I also know that the community needs to come together after this. And I sure hope that once this comprehensive plan issue is resolved, that this community, this township, can come back together, where neighbors can be speaking with neighbors, and everything can be civil, and we can begin to move forward. With that, I do ask you to take into consideration the comments of Ms. Burke and recognize the fact that the previous town board worked very hard in passing a comprehensive plan that was asked for by the county. They moved forward on that. What you see here is proposed reforms to that. Thank you.
Vina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a couple of comments, and I really, as a county supervisor who lives in another township in the town of Washington, am going to get involved with the town of Washington plan, but I don't want to get involved in other townships outside of my area. That's for those residents to make a decision. And because there was turmoil in that township, the second proposal came into being. But I just wanted to point out, it sounded like Vicki said something about the farmers getting a big subsidy. And I don't like the word subsidy, but I just wanted to correct the wording, because it sounds like the farmers were getting rich on government money. I should tell you that the farmers do get a couple of payments a year on corn ground. One is a corn per acre payment, and the other one is a PFC payment, and that was high over the last number of years only because the corn price was low. The corn price fell below $1.89 a bushel in our county, and the federal program says, when at the end of the fiscal year, when your price locally is below the loan price, you will pay the farmers a token payment to make up that difference. And so therefore, yes, that $2.9 million sounded like it was a lot of money, but I must say our prices were so low, that's why the federal government put that $2.9 million out of there. And I should say that anybody that says sells any property, any place in the county, at any time will have a financial gain. They are going to have a gain whether they build a house or whether they sell it to their neighbor or something, because they're going to sell it for more than what they originally did. And the third point, and lastly, I did ask during the public hearing the class of land in this area. And Jeff Lusky did point out that it was Class 4 land, and it's Class 4 only because there's no water. The water table is high out there. In order to get a good crop, and Vicki evidently knows when you get a good crop, and that's good, that they need irrigation to get that good crop. So this is Class 4 land. So basically, in zoning, we look at 1 and 2 land as prime land, and 3 and 4 and 5 as a little bit different. But this is Class 4 land, and Jeff, you said that at the public hearing that day. So that's it.
Mr. Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was a one vote against all these resolutions in the PRD committee. I agree with what Vicki has had to say, and I'm not going to repeat everything she said, but I pretty much agree with what she has to say. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to hear from Jeff Buschke, our zoning master here, and see what he has to say about this whole situation.
Okay. Jeff?
Thank you. Just so everybody's on the same page, what you're asking to amend tonight with the resolutions before you is the old plan, the plan that's in this book. And whatever happens in this book will end up being transferred to the new one, which is the last resolution that you're going to be asking for a vote on tonight. When I take a look at the current plan along with the new plan, There's plenty of residential in this municipality already. And the hard thing for us is we can't look at one municipality over any other municipality. We've got to look at the county as a whole. One of the reasons I cannot support these resolutions, but this is your votes, not mine, is the two parcels, and if I can point to these, and you can hear me all at the same time here. Maybe I'll just point here. This parcel right here and this parcel right here are completely surrounded by exclusive agriculture. That's about as incompatible of a use as you'd want to have if either of these parcels become residential.
Excuse me, Jeff, where are they?
The Erickson parcel and the Gavigan parcel, they're both out off of County Highway D in the eastern part of the town of Onalaska. Okay. The other 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 resolutions are all out on Bryce's Prairie or the proposed amendments. Those areas, as Supervisor Burke has already indicated, are in very sensitive soils. There's high nitrates in those areas. That area has been studied quite heavily out there. That is an area that should possibly have sewer and water from either the village of Holman or the city of Onalaska if residential is going to be in that area. Because the septic systems, because the soils out there are sand and gravel, anything that goes in the ground will come up in a well at some point and be consumed. We don't know how many lots are being proposed in any of this acreage. So that's the only comment that I have. High nitrates on the Bryce's Prairie area should not be supported by additional residential, and anything that's surrounded by agricultural use, exclusive agricultural use in the county should not have residential in the center of it. That's all I have to say.
Mr. Blusky, you said the first two were completely surrounded by exclusive agriculture?
Yes, sir.
What is to the east of the Gavin property?
Exclusive agriculture.
To the east? That's Westwood Hills. That's a subdivision.
Yeah.
And to the north is a subdivision.
Mm-hmm. But that's true.
I'm just
what you're talking about, that you should make reference to the resolution. The two that he's talking about are the third resolution that failed at the planning
research. He made the comment they were completely surrounded
by
exclusive
ag. I take that back. There's about 3/4 of a mile on the Gavigan one that are surrounded, and on the north it's by, looks like, less than a quarter of a mile.
Okay.
On the north.
Are you done, Mr. Meyer?
No, that's just, I just wanted to hear Jeff's comments on it. Thank you.
You're done? Okay. Next one is Mr. Hansen.
I just want to make a statement here. I don't want everybody to get confused on this, because I hear a lot of talk about we don't know how many lots there are in here, we don't know all this and all that. This is a land use designation. It's got nothing to do with how many lots or anything. It's just, it's a planning tool. It's land use. What do we want to use that land for in the future, somewhere down the line? Now, even though we pass these tonight and say that the town of Onalaska wants to use this as a land use planning tool for these areas, they still have got to be rezoned before they can have houses put on them. So there's another step in this process. You have another kick at the can, like the part out there where you say you should have sewer and water. When they come in and say, I want to rezone this to put X number of houses on there, that's the time you tell them, the only way we're going to rezone this is if you put sewer and water in there. But this is only for land use planning. It is not zoning. So just bear that in mind, because even though you would pass these tonight, all that does is that we can plan these areas for whatever we're designating them, our land use plan, but they still have to come in and be rezoned. So don't lose that perspective, please.
Mr. Schrader's next.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, all of these letters that we received were all in the same format, all by the same people. And these are people that were, a lot of these people were involved in the first comprehensive plan that was passed by the town of Onalaska. There's been a change in administration out there, and evidently the people don't really like the way that the town of Onalaska was going to look. So they want to change it. I don't think it's our place as county supervisors to tell somebody that they can't have what they want in their township. If the city of Onalaska wanted to do something, or the city of La Crosse wanted to do something, or village of Holman, for that fact, they can do it. They don't have to come to us and do it. They don't have to worry about how it's going to affect anybody. And these things, they're and some of the reasons that they shouldn't be rezoned or shouldn't be changed was that the traffic impact and everything. Well, the cities and towns and everything can do that. Incorporated areas can do that, and they're going to affect our road systems just as much as what this township plan supposedly is going to do. And Mr. Blesky was saying that there's high nitrates out on the prairie, and it also that there are high volume wells out there. I would argue that the high volume wells have much more potential to pollute than do residential units. Also, Ms. Burke was referring to the dump at the north end of the prairie. Well, there's been no evidence found of the pollution that stayed in the soil there. I don't know. If the county board should have no right to oppose this plan. It's what their township wants to look like by the people there, and I don't think that we should have anything to say about it. Thank you.
Vicki.
Mr. Chairman, I disagree with people indicating. First of all, I want to talk about the election. When people talk about the fact that that was a comprehensive plan, let me remind you that 2 days before the election, there was information disseminated to town residents indicating, and I have a copy of it, hundreds of thousands of dollars were being misspent by the board. And that particular piece of literature is, and that event is still being investigated at still at the DA's level about the whether or not it had the impact it had on the election. That was not about the comprehensive plan. It was about an indication in the following meeting. The chair of the town of Onalaska indicated that that was not true, that they had overspent thousands of dollars, and that actually it had come in under. And so that particular piece of literature was meant to influence the election and may have influenced it more. I tell you that I was
Let's keep our remarks to the resolution.
Okay, I'm
forget
only
the local politics. Let's keep
okay.
our argument to the resolution.
Mr. Chairman, you should have said that then when they brought that up before. With all due respect.
Well,
I wasn't the one that brought the topic up, Mr. Chairman. I am only responding to it, okay? Secondly, I did not in any way mean to suggest that farmers were making a lot of money off of subsidies. My point was this, that as a community and as a government, we have decided that it is important to have agricultural lands because they are they impact food prices. You only have to go to the grocery store to see that now. They impact energy and that the need for those lands to produce other forms of energy. And I certainly did not mean to indicate anything to the extent only that as a government we had recognized the importance of agriculture and the importance of maintaining agricultural land. As part of this, I would certainly like the county administrator and financial manager to indicate why they did not support the resolutions as well.
Very briefly, and I've made this point several times, you've been given a capital improvement plan that projects the road needs in the future just based on current levels of development. There's over $20 million of unmet current road needs that the majority of the payments for that will be from the urban districts. Let me repeat that. The tax base is primarily in urban districts. When you have unrestricted development, which these resolutions expands the ability to do development beyond even the previous plan, We already are going to have a very difficult challenge paying for that. I just quickly went through the capital improvement plan that each of you have received. Close as I can figure right now, over $4.4 million worth of new work is already needed in the town of Onalaska based on the current patterns. So when we say that, well, let's not be big brother and tell the towns what to do, if the towns want to support that instead of the 70% of urban taxpayers for expanding the roads to meet current development, that would be a fair debate. That's not what's being debated here. It's as if they believe that development patterns and expanded development patterns have no impact on taxpayers. I've said it before, there's over $20 million worth of unmet road needs that we've already identified. 70% of that will have to be paid by the taxpayers in urban districts just based on our current system. We expand under these resolutions or other discussions that you're going to have later, you're going to have a difficult time paying for the development of road systems that you have now, let alone unrestricted development. This is a serious caution. This isn't about somebody telling somebody else what to do. It's about who's going to pay for maintaining the road system that we already have and the impact of development that we already know, residential development in the townships, doesn't support the cost of services. This is one example that's going to be right in front of you next budget cycle, the budget cycle after that, and the budget cycle after that, and I can identify the roads that are actually in this list. That's why I did not support this, because I'm trying to be responsible for the entire county budget, which, just to remind you, we have a $500,000 levy limit next year. How many new roads can we do with that? This is a serious issue on behalf of taxpayers, especially in urban areas.
Anything to add, Gary? Mr. Paff.
I'd like to call a question.
We've got one more person with a hand up yet. Mr. Schrader.
Thank you. All you people are assuming that there's going to be development there just because it's rezoned. There won't be any development there unless there's demand for it. There's lots all over. If you don't allow development there, you're dictating where in the county people can live. And to me, that's wrong. And Mr. O'Malley, just a minute, Mr. O'Malley saying there's no money for the roads. Who pays for the roads to these developments? It's the townships that pay for those roads to the developments. It's just the people getting on and out of these developments that the county has anything to do with. Am I not correct?
You're selective in responding to where do the traffic volumes that impact county roads impact demand and deteriorate the roads that come from developments. And those developments are what are causing, if you remember, the entire road study talked about the intersection improvements, the turn lanes for safety, the expansion of intersections throughout, as well as faster deterioration of the roads come from people driving on those roads, which are not primarily urban dwellers. And so they're not supporting the cost of the road deterioration and safety deterioration that's already happening that we already know. This isn't academic. We can go project by project and identify that, and that will have to be paid for by the majority of taxpayers, which are in urban areas. That's under the current pattern of development. And to suggest that this doesn't expand the ability to have more development faster kind of defeats the whole concept of what comp planning is. Then why have any comp planning? Just say it's all open, and whatever gets zoned, and let's just tax everybody to upgrade the roads.
So then you're saying that the portion of people that are in the urban areas are going to dictate to the people in the rural areas what to do?
No, I'm saying the opposite is true.
No,
that
you didn't.
By having open-ended development without restriction, that it's just the opposite, that you're dictating to urban dwellers to pay for a road system that we can't afford to provide all those same services. This has to be a mutual agreement. This has to be parties working together. But to say that it's just open-ended to whatever has not addressed the 4.4 million of road system, county road system, already in town of Onalaska that we've already identified as needed.
Thank you. On the computer, all of those in favor of resolution 12-3 vote aye. Those opposed vote no.
Are we voting to approve this resolution?
If you want to approve the resolution, if you want to approve the resolution, vote yes. If you don't want to approve it, vote no.
Thank you.
It's the Todd Wright one. Jim? Seven ayes, 21 noes. The resolution has failed. Next item.
Am I still on the board?
Yes.
13-3. Whereas in a partnership with the towns of La Crosse County, the public interest in accordance with the adopted county development plan to serve as a guide for land use decisions to serve development of public and private property relationship. A comprehensive plan, whereas the county development plan be amended by the county board at the request of a town board, whereby the town board of the town of Land, Alaska, passed the ordinance on December 17, 2007, amending their land use classification in its development plan for a farm commonly known as the Severson Farm, whereas the Planning Resource Development Committee has held a public hearing on the amendment to the development plan by the town of Land, Alaska, and recommends approval of said amendment to the county board. Now there be resolved that the La Crosse County Board hereby amends the La Crosse County Development Plan 2020 to include the amendment of the town of Land, Alaska from land use classification of agricultural preservation and conservation to conservation residential for the Garvin LLC property as delineated in Exhibit A as a guide to future development activity and aid the county board in the performance of its duty. I move the resolution.
Motion to approve the resolution is our second, Mr. Bina. Discussion? Vicki?
This is the part of the town on Alaska that you have a letter from the village of Holman relating to it. And the one Jeff was talking about when he pointed to it on the... Jeff, are you on that center map?
This is the one he pointed to that was not surrounded completely by the... exclusive ag.
Right.
That's this one right here.
Okay.
I know it's hard to see back there. Is there a map attached to your resolution, by the way?
Nope.
No?
There's supposed to be.
Anything else, Vicki?
No, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Geary?
I assume then the same arguments are going to take place on this one as the last one, but I didn't get my 2 cents on the last one, but I do want to get it on this one. They were talking about this impact on the road system, and I must not be understanding this correctly. In these townships now, you've got these threshold numbers that we're told aren't filling up very fast anyway, that we got lots all over the place. I'm trying to figure out how many million miles of traffic get driven in La Crosse County, and if they don't build a house or something on this one, so they go in the town of Alaska 3 miles farther down the road. So now they're driving more miles on county highways. I mean, I don't understand why they're going to be driving less miles. They're going to live somewhere, and they're going to be driving on road somewhere. They might be in La Crosse. They might be in Alaska, home, wherever. But they're going to live somewhere, and there's, according to this threshold, you said there's plenty of lots in the town of Alaska and as well as all the other townships. You've got thresholds, which enables them to get more every year for the next 10 years, if I'm reading this right. I'm not reading this right, that the town of Onalaska on that threshold's got, what is it, 840 acres over the next 10 years in addition to what they currently have? So you got 840 acres, which we're going to approve, and these people are going to live, if they're not on this piece of property, they're going to live potentially on another piece of property. I don't understand where the impact on the county highways is coming at all.
Density of development is more efficient to support through taxation maintaining of infrastructure. The less dense development doesn't support the kinds of taxes that are necessary for all costs of services. We've had a cost of community services study that we've spent quite a bit of time on. It's been presented by Carl Green, your CRD agent. In essence, what's happening is very simple, Supervisor Geary. The less dense the development, the less it generates enough to pay for the services that are there.
Okay.
That's why it's more positive to have development in cities, because the infrastructure is already there, or in planned areas that you can recover the cost of the infrastructure to do that. The types of development that happens in towns in general is not dense enough to pay for the impacts on the road system or everything else that's related to county services.
Now, whose road system? We've got 272 miles or 280 miles of county roads. Are we picking up more miles of county roads, or are these going to be town roads?
No, we're still responsible for maintaining county roads, which is done on a countywide tax
right.
basis.
But I mean,
based on tax basis.
As these developments get
urban
developed,
districts.
Do we pick up more miles of county roads, or do we have the same number of miles, and the township picks up those roads?
No, the roads deteriorate faster with more traffic.
Didn't answer my question yet. We've got a finite number of miles of county roads right now, whatever that number is. Let's say it's 270 miles. Are we going to have 270 miles into the future or not?
Right,
or
but I don't know what that point is. It's got
the
to
point
do with
is
the use
that
of
we
the
won't be maintaining the road. The township will. They're the ones that are going to have to approve the things.
When are towns maintaining county roads? I haven't heard that.
We're not picking up any extra miles of county roads as people move out into those areas. Those roads are going to be town roads, aren't they? So the township should take that into consideration when they approve the rezoning.
Ralph. What we do pick up is when you talk about linear foot or mile,
right.
You're just talking about length. We pick up width, we pick up thickness, we pick up base course, and we pick up reconstruction, all those other things. So you're right. We don't pick up any more miles because the lengths stay the same. But the change is in the design of the road to carry more traffic, in the design of the road to carry different styles of traffic from agriculture to residential to commercial. And the change in the road is to pick up the density of that traffic. And so the further out that we have to maintain heavier roads, the significant change in cost to us at the county level.
Let me interject. Remember, there were two road studies we did. The first one said that at current levels of development, without a lot of expansion, we were keeping ahead of maintaining roads. The second study said that based on projections of the development you've already approved, that's what's driving the increased deterioration of your roads. We had two independent studies from engineers that understand what the impact is in length and life of your road system. And we haven't increased the funding for roads for over 10 years on a real dollar basis. And yet we're putting more and more wear and tear on those roads. Remember how much we complained about the idea that the state was going to allow large trucks on our road system? And we said, oh, isn't that terrible? They're going to deteriorate it. It isn't just the households that have a car drive up. What else drives up to a house? A UPS truck and a semi and a delivery truck. The average house has 8 to 10 trips over a period of several days. It all adds up to using up the road system faster, and they're not paying for it except for on a property-wide tax basis. It's the county road system that takes the hit.
Mr. Schrader.
Charlie, what, in your opinion, is harder on the road system, these overweight trucks, manure spreaders, farm tractors, farmers hauling bales, or an automobile?
If you're talking a single trip, than the heavier
beer. No, I'm talking multiple trips that farmers would be making on these roads every day.
Well, if you look at the characteristic of the trips, the residential trips are such a significantly larger number that my opinion is that the residential traffic causes more damage.
That's, you know, Charlie's not an expert at it. He's a planner. And
I know that.
I think asking him road questions is not...
We're talking about roads here and damage to roads.
Okay. Anyone else got any comments? Ann Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What keeps coming to my mind through all of these resolutions is, well, first of all, the Town of Onalaska Board approved their comprehensive plan back in whatever year it was. And then most of those people got voted out. So now the new people are coming in with these amendments. So all I keep thinking is this is really just all politics by very few people. And, you know, how are we to know what the majority of the people in the Town of Onalaska want? It just seems to me all of this is being decided by first three people. Oh, they get voted out. Now there's three new people, and now we have changes being proposed. So who's right? We don't know who's right. We honestly do not know what the majority of the people of the Town of Onalaska want. This is just plain, excuse me, it might be dirty politics.
Vicki.
That's why, Ann, I put in that information about the number of town residents that answered the survey and what the results of that survey was, because that was 40% of 1,800. I mean, they had over 700 people who really did write in. And when people, that amount of people, take the time to put their information in, I think that's a good indication to you. I have to say that lots of people don't pay attention to elections. That's good and bad, you know. Maybe if you're running in lots of people and don't pay attention, maybe you think it's good. So I think it's our responsibility as the regional planning to look at the whole county and to decide. And granted, there is development in these areas. It isn't as if no one has been allowed to develop. That's why I wanted to state that how many lots there were, because there is development there.
Ryan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My feelings why I voted for these resolutions in the meeting is kind of like what Ann had stated. And the main thing that really stuck me was all these came up saying requested by county planner. These came from the town to the county planner. I took it that, hey, Charlie made sure they passed all the regulations that they had to this brought. Charlie was okay with it. I was okay with it. I got to admit that I was very upset afterwards, and I let Jeff know this, that we heard all these arguments after the fact, after this was all brought up and it was by the requested plan. Granted, I have to admit I have my doubts now, but I will still stick with the town's request, and I will not change my vote and that type of thing. But I do have to agree that I take the concerns that Mr. O'Malley has. I really do. But we weren't told that at the meeting. We were not told those type of things, you know.
Mr. Meyer?
We're starting to repeat again. I'll call for the question.
Motion for the question, seconded by Mr. Schrader.
No, I didn't second.
Is there a second?
Okay.
Seconded by Jill Billings. All in favor of closing the debate, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Raise your hands. Mr. Hansen, Mr. Schrader, Ann Fisher, on the computer.
Well, there'll be another one coming up. Oh, we're going to vote now. Before we call the question?
This is the closed debate.
I voted no.
You made the motion. You want to clear it? Or?
I hope it doesn't go by one vote.
Roger, you have problems again?
Huh?
distracted?
We have one person that said he voted the wrong way, so we're going to cancel the vote and vote again. You want to close debate? Vote yes. You want to continue the discussion? Vote no. Roger? Okay. 22-10 to close debate. That's two-thirds. Yeah. Debate is closed. On the resolution, as... Right?
68%.
Yeah. Took two-thirds vote. Debate is closed on the resolution on the computer, 13-3 as presented. They've been here for at least 2 years. They sure don't. Resolution has failed on a 12 yes, 20 no. We're on to item 14-3, which is the first reading of an ordinance on the floodplain, and there will be a request to suspend the rules on this because this has to be done by April 2nd, so I'll have Mr. Glusky ask for him to address it after Mr. Hansen puts it on the floor.
I thought you were going to take care of it for me. I have 14-3, which is an ordinance to amend Section 1, 16.7, Parent 1, 16.16, Parent 1, 16.9, Parent 3, Parent E, and 16.21, Parent 1B, and 5 of the General Code of La Crosse County, which is Wisconsin entitled Floodplain Zoning. I can make that motion. I'll make that motion to suspend the rules so we can vote on this tonight.
Motion to suspend the rules by Mr. Hansen, seconded by Mr. Meyer. Discussion on suspending the rules. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried unanimously.
And I'd like to make...
Mr. Brusky, give just a brief explanation of why and...
Want me to make the motion first? Well, I'm going to make the motion first that we approve this ordinance.
Seconded by Mr. Richmond. Mr. Brusky.
Thank you again. What we're proposing to do here is replace all the current floodplain maps, the FEMA maps that we have from 1984, 1985, with the current maps. We've held a couple open houses. We've held a public hearing. Last year, we had an opportunity for people to object and submit a data that where they thought the map might have been inaccurate. We had, I think that's in the minutes anyway. And there were some changes that were made. The reason for suspending the rules is these maps have to go into effect on April 2nd, which means that the county clerk only has a few days next week to type up the minutes and get them posted into the Tribune, because after publication, they go into effect. That's why we're asking for the first and second reading at this time. I can get into the reasons why we didn't have this in a month earlier, but I'm not going to, so.
Any questions of Mr. Blusky? Mr. Schrader?
Can we ask him questions
yes.
on the... Okay. You're the guy.
Yes.
Non-conforming structures.
Yes, sir.
I think it's section 4.
What are... Turn your microphone on, Jeff.
Oh, it's on. What are non-conforming structures?
Non-conforming structures are structures anytime a new ordinance whether it be a zoning ordinance, subdivision ordinance, whatever the case is, whenever this body ends up passing a new ordinance, if there are parcels that don't end up fitting the rule anymore, they become non-conforming. In this case, if a parcel is placed into the floodplain for the very first time, it becomes non-conforming as far as the structure goes. There's rules that end up applying that mean if a certain portion of it ends up being damaged up to 50%, then they cannot replace it. Unless they meet the criteria in the ordinance, that means that they have 15 feet of fill around the foundation, and if they can't do that, they have to have an engineered foundation that is actually flood-proofed. And we've got quite a few of those going on right now in the town of Campbell. That seems to be the area that gets hits hardest on that. Other ordinances might be the number of buildings, issues like that. Too close to the road, too close to the lot line, those kinds of issues.
All right, that's why I was asking, because there are certain areas of the town of Campbell that the house may be out, but the land all the way around it
is in.
Would that be called the floodway then, or what is that called?
Well, the floodway is actually the portion of... There's some terminology here just for everybody. The flood fringe is the whole district. It's say from this wall to this wall. That's where the water would end up at some point. The floodplain is the portion where the water ends up rising and goes to that limit. It's the level that it would seek if there was going to end up being a 100-year flood. The floodway is the portion that we don't allow any construction in, because that's where the water is actually moving and has the ability to lift foundations and move structures. We do allow construction in the floodplain if they are floodproofed or if they put sufficient amount of fill based on a special exception permit that the Planning Resources and Development Committee does here.
Okay, then will this ordinance be enforced uniformly between the urban and the rural areas?
The two cities enforce their own ordinance, and they've had their own hearings the same way, and the four villages have their own floodplain ordinance as well. I believe the city of La Crosse regulates construction to the first floor of anything that's in the floodplain to 2 feet above the regional flood. We're a little bit more strict. We insist that they're 3 feet above the regional flood. And there's been a couple exceptions or variances that have been granted to the 2 feet. But getting back to your question about the parcel that's surrounded by floodplain and their house is out, determination would have to be made by a consultant that would indicate, yes, your parcel is in the floodplain. Then it would be up to the property owner to do what's called a LOMA, a letter of map amendment, which means that a certified a surveyor has to go out and shoot the elevation, the ground elevation around the house that indicates that level along with the first floor is out of the 100-year flood event. And if that's the case, the lending institution still has the opportunity to say yes or no that you have to have flood insurance, but in most cases they would say no, you don't have to pay them.
Thank you.
Discussion. All in favor of the ordinance as presented, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried unanimously. Next item. Tom is going to give the majority report, and then Terry is going to give the minority report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll introduce item 15-3, a resolution for adoption of amendment to La Crosse County Development Plan 2020 for the town of Onalaska, and I'll defer to Mr. Hansen for a presentation on the minority report.
What are you going to make me read? Whereas in partnership with the towns in La Crosse County, La Crosse County is acting in public interest in accordance with...
Hold on here.
Do I have to read? I don't have to read
for that. For the board's information, on the majority report, there was 3 ayes, 2 abstentions, or no... 2 noes and 1 abstention, which meant there was 3 noes in essence, and it failed because the motion was to approve the report, and it did not get a majority of the votes, so it failed in committee. So Mr. Hansen requested to bring it in as a minority report.
Thank you, George. Good explanation. Well, the first whereas, we'll skip right over that one. I'm sure you don't want to read that one anyway. Whereas the county development plan made by the county board at the request of the town board, and whereas the town board of the town of Onalaska passed 6 ordinances on January 30th, 2008, amending their land use classification in its development plan from agriculture preservation to conservation preservation and or mixed use is more specifically set forth in Exhibit A, wherever that one is. Whereas the Planning Resource Development Committee has held a public hearing on the amendment development plan by the town of Onalaska and recommends approval of said amendments to the county board. Now there will be resolved that the La Crosse County Board hereby amends the La Crosse County Development Plan 2020 to include the 6 amendments of the town of Onalaska from the land use classification of agriculture preservation to conservation resolution and or conservation mixed use is more specifically set forth in Exhibit A. I will move the report, and I'd like to speak to it.
Seconded by Mr. Bina. Mr. Hansen.
I brought this in because I think that on a 3-3 tie, which is what, I mean, obviously it was 3-2 with 1 abstention, which caused it to be a no vote, and it tied. I think the county board is a responsibility meant to react to this type of thing. And like I said, I support these because it is a town thing. And once again, I want to remind everybody these are not zoning. These are land use planning. And I appreciate all the talk that's been talking about roads, but I don't want to get in that big argument, but, I mean, there could be quite an argument on that one. But anyway, I'm going to support the resolution.
Vicki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This one really failed in committee, I think, because of the fact that it was largely speculation. There was really, even at the town level, no idea of what kind of development it was going to be. If you look at the 6 parcels, that's 268 of those acres, again, are on Bryce Prairie, and that's where my concern is that given the fact that there's no established need or community need, and I think at the Planning, Resources, and Development Committee, Mr. Blusky spoke to that same thing, that these were largely speculation, and I ask for its defeat.
Mr. Bina.
Very quickly, along with Terry, I agree with Terry on this. This is not a zoning issue. This is a comprehensive planning issue. It was put together by the township.
and who am I to argue about that? If they want to change their plan, they have to make these recommendations, and they did it through the legal process, and really, that's about my concern.
Mr. Hansen?
I just want to say once again, when you develop a land use plan, you do not say what kind of stuff is going to go on that. It is just a land use that somewhere in the future you come in for a zoning change, and at that time you start to put in what you're going to do in it. So in any town plan that we see, the town looks at it and says, what do we want to do in the future down the road? You can have land use plans that will lay in a plan for 50 years and never be rezoned and actually be used. That's what these are land uses for future planning. Thank you.
On the computer. All those in favor of the minority report, vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. The resolution has failed on a 12-20 vote. I have had a request to go to the comp plan next because of a individual that has to leave early this evening. We've got a closed session and one other resolution. If there's no objections, we will go to the comp plan next. Okay. Tara?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have item 19-3, which is a final reading of an ordinance to create Chapter 31 entitled La Crosse County, Wisconsin Comprehensive Plan 2007-2027 of the General Code of La Crosse County. I move its approval and ask to keep the floor.
Seconded by Mr. Hansen.
Well, I wanted to talk.
Well, you stuck your hand up. Seconded by Mr. Hansen. Tara?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to apologize to my colleagues on the board. In the discussion that we had at the policy planning meeting this month earlier, I think there was general consensus that we would change the word thresholds in Table 1, which is on page 121 in the codified version of it. And if you're still, like me, using the printed booklet, the spiral-bound version, it's page 12 of the behind the land use tab. At this time, I would make an amendment that throughout the document, we replace the word thresholds with the word guidelines, and the word threshold with the word guideline.
Motion
and if there's
by
a second,
Sarah, is there a second? Second by Mr. Kopanky. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I think this was actually a suggestion of Supervisor Gamroth, and I want to thank her for making it. And again, I apologize that we didn't get it into the amended versions that came in our packets.
Okay. On that amendment, any discussion? Mr. Geary.
What's the difference between a threshold and a guideline?
Tara?
It appears to be a term that's more generally accepted as indicating what these numbers represent, that they are guidelines for land use development and not thresholds. There seemed to be some confusion about the definition of thresholds, and at our discussion at the policy planning meeting, the term guideline seemed to be one that was generally understood more broadly than the term threshold. The term threshold was confusing.
Well, the term guideline to me would seem confusing. If your threshold is 40 acres and you obtain 40 acres, to me you'd have to go through some process to get that raised or amended. But if it's a guideline, that doesn't necessarily mean we have to stop there. I think the threshold means when you hit it, you got to do something to get more acres approved, or you got to go through the zoning committee or amendments or whatever you got to do. But what's the guideline? I mean, most people would not say a guideline is the same as a threshold. A threshold is more definitive, and you know, it seems to carry more weight.
Mr. Bina?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I basically see no difference between thresholds and guidelines, only because when the township reaches that point, they will be told that they cannot do it by the department because they have reached that point. And whether it's a threshold or guideline, it really doesn't make any difference.
Badger starting 1 hour. Jim Burns.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a point of information. It's not a big deal, but Supervisor Johnson has a committee copy, and we have the public hearing draft copy, and so it was page 14 is a reference to the amendment, not page 12.
Thank you. On the motion to change it from threshold to guideline, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Raise your hands. Mr. Hansen, Mr. Bina, Mr. Schrader, Jay Johnson. Anyone else? Yes.
I didn't catch that. What committee did this come out of?
The Comprehensive Plan Committee.
Was that a question directed at me, Supervisor Schrader? At the policy planning meeting, when this entire group discussed the plan, when Charlie walked us through it, during that evening's discussion, Supervisor Gamroth, I believe, is the one who suggested the term guidelines instead of thresholds. That's where it came from.
Thank you.
Now, last month when this was presented, there was two amendments that were made on the board floor. We will take those next. I believe you all have a copy in your packet. We will act on those two, and then if there's any more amendments, we will take them. And the first one is on the commercial. The commercial one to eliminate the amendment B. Where mine is right on. Let's take B. Amendment B is to eliminate the plan for the commercial thresholds in the plan. Tara, you're the one that made that motion?
I am not, so I can't. I didn't make the motion. I think maybe someone else.
So you made the one in Ray. Did you make it?
Yes, sir. I made it to eliminate both, and then at the chair's request, he asked if we split the question, and I thought that was a wonderful idea.
So we're on the amendment B to eliminate the commercial thresholds in the plan discussion. Vicki?
I'm going to speak against eliminating the commercial for the very reason we talked about before, that these were very generous guidelines as to when your plan might be reviewed. And it's my understanding that they took the last 10 years and then whatever that had been, they doubled that amount. So it is, I think, highly improbable that many would even reach that. The word threshold didn't bother me because I did vote for the guidelines, because threshold really means that it's the point at which something begins to impact its surroundings or a situation, and that's why that was called a threshold, because that's what happens. Now you begin to impact your plan because your plan has indicated that you're going to have only a certain amount of development in that area. And so now it simply says, hello, wake up, you're getting close to that particular thing that you in your plan. So I think that because of the fact that it can be reviewed, that I do not support either are removing the commercial threshold.
Mr. Vino?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess in both cases, A and B, the discussion at the Town Board Association and at another meeting in addition, that the towns voted unanimously that they did not want to see this in the plan at all. And both of them went down as far as the town association because, and I didn't get into the commercial part of it much, but I'll speak to the other one later. But both of them were voted against by the town boards, and they did not want to see them in the plan.
Vicki?
I would like to just clarify what Mr. Bina said. I looked at the letter that came from the Towns Association. That was the one addressed by Mr. Crooks. I have several problems with the letter. Number one, it says at a recent meeting. It doesn't really even state the date of the meeting at which this happened. So, I mean, I like to see... Number two, I think there was quite a discussion at the meeting as to whether or not a vote should even be taken, since most members of town boards come to those meetings and may or may not constitute a quorum. And then the question is, and many of them put out a notice saying that they are not conducting business, and then they took a vote at the meeting. I believe there was substantial discussion at that one at the Town of Holland about that particular issue. I take exception to the fact that Mr. Bina indicates somehow this was an overwhelming majority. You attended Towns Association meetings in the past, was unable to attend this one because of a family issue. And there were 19, as I understand, 19 people who voted for it. You have to keep in mind that there are 42 town supervisors. All right, if we counted up all the supervisors in the 12 towns. Then if we added the clerk and treasurer, who also are members of the Towns Association, that would add an additional probably 23, because I think the town of Campbell's person is both the clerk and the treasurer. So what you have here, and then at the Towns Association meeting, it has been my experience in the number of times that I have attended that not all towns are represented. Very often when they take roll call, of that 19 people, four of them might be from, for example, four were from the town of Onalaska, but four might be from the town of Onalaska, three from some other towns, but you don't necessarily have representation from all 12 towns. As a matter of fact, I think that one town, the town of Washington, wasn't represented there at all. That was the information I received from my source. And so to try to give you this impression, and besides that, it's my understanding that the attorney who was present indicated that individuals come there as representing themselves as individuals from the town. They do not represent their board. Is that, and I am... So that's why they were able to, and it didn't constitute. So I have some real concerns about that. I tried to find some minutes someplace, but was unable to do so. Thank you.
Brian?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is, and hopefully somebody can answer this for me then, the guidelines that they're putting there. The only reason they're there is just as a warning buzzer to tell those townships, you've hit it, it's time for you to look at your plans again. That's all it's there for. So if these are taken out, what is going to be the warning device to tell these townships, you got to start looking at your plan again? What is there?
Leon?
Thank you. I don't know where Vicki got her information on that, but my town chairman got a hold of me just asking me about these thresholds situation, and it was an entirely different story. What he said it was the town chairman's voted unanimously to have the word that, this amendment removed. That was, and I asked him if that's what the wishes were in Farmington, and he said, well, not just in Farmington, but the entire towns group that had met. It was a unanimous decision. That's what I got from him. So,
Ralph?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I got two questions. At that so-called meeting, was 19 for this? How many were against it?
None.
So the vote was 19-0. And this isn't a warning buzzer, unless I'm understanding this wrong. If a township hits their threshold number, they can't have more commercial. They, I assume Mr. Blesky's department on a rezoning request and will be recommending against this. They'll have to amend their plan, bring it through some kind of process, and we got to approve any more than this is not a threshold or a guideline. If they hit it, it stops there until the township and the county board approves an amendment. Jeff, is that the right way that works?
It would have to be amended on the town level and the county level. Yeah. The plan.
It's more than a warning buzzer. Yeah. They can't do any more of that type of development until that amendment passes the town and the county then, right?
Yeah. Mr. Kapanke.
Thank you. I mean, I'm just looking at what it says on page 121, and it just says, the purpose of the proposed thresholds or guidelines is to identify points at which the local and county plans will need to be reviewed and updated. That's what it says the threshold guidelines are there for. All I would like to know then, if these are taken out, what is going to be the identifier then to tell these townships they got to look at their plan and come back to the county and say we've got to amend it now?
Mr. Bina.
We had a lot of discussion about this with a lot of townships. Both the residential and the commercial. The commercial in most of my rural area was not that much of a concern, but the thresholds for the residential was. Town of Washington doesn't want any acres at all because they're not going to approve many houses. The town of Barrie does not need a lot of acres because they're not going to approve an awful lot, because they still don't understand that there's going to be development. The town of Greenfield is just the opposite. They are saying the threshold is way too low, because when they put development in, they aren't going to be able to live with this. Who else is in my district? The four townships in my district definitely want this out. And at some point, this county board better start listening to our sister agency, who are all saying, get out of the threshold business and listen to us. You know, if you're going to go against the town boards association, I think the repercussion is going to be there eventually, because they are all saying the same thing, and they're saying it for different reasons too.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, as I understand, the threshold is a hard cap, correct? And does Charlie want to come out?
Not really.
It's not a hard. In other words, when you get to that point,
really, I don't want to come out. Yeah, you're right. I mean, and both Brian and Ralph were right in their statements. The threshold is a guideline. The guideline is both. It's both a hard cap that says it needs to be amended if you're going to surpass it, but it is also that buzzer that says, okay, we're doing 2 this year, 10 next year, 15 the year after. We're at 27, and our guideline is 40. Well, we're going to hit that guideline in the fourth or fifth year. We better get on the process of amending it.
So then, under the hypothetical that if you had 10 acres left, a commercial unit came in and wanted 20 acres, then that would be, the county would say, no, that does not meet the plan. You have to go back, do the amendment, which takes a considerable amount of time, and you could lose that development, or that commercial development at that, in that time frame, correct?
That's certainly a scenario that could happen.
Thank you, sir.
Kara?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I first and foremost want to say, from what I have heard, in, I'm sure, much fewer and much shorter conversations with town elected officials than Supervisor Bina. But I, for the record, believe and know that there are town elected officials in this county who absolutely want these thresholds, who see it as a way to level the playing field, and they are towns that are represented by Supervisor Bina, and I'm sure that we are all hearing, you know, what people want to say and what people want to hear being said. But there are supervisors from the town of Washington, there are supervisors from the town of Barrie who have said very publicly that they support these thresholds. So I think we have to be very careful about this and saying that we are not listening to the town's association. Unlike my colleagues, Supervisor Paff and Supervisor Burke, I was at the meeting in the town of Holland, and it was absolutely a I would definitely categorize it as a straw poll vote. It was, do we want to send a message to the county about these then called thresholds? Now we're calling guidelines. But it was not, there wasn't a roll call vote taken. It was definitely the sense of that group of people gathered in that room. But I think it is false to categorize it as a unanimous vote of all town elected officials. So first and foremost, I want to set what I think is the record straight on those issues. And the other thing I just want to briefly mention is the way the state statute is written on comprehensive planning, and Charlie's probably more eloquent at saying this than I might be right now. Those state statutes require two players in this process: municipal elected officials and county elected officials. And that, I believe, is there for a reason, that there are checks and balances in this very emotional, very critical process. And the role that we play on this county board is to be looking out for the interests of the entire county. And the reason that the state statutes has both of us chiming in, and what we like to refer to around here as two yeses, one, you know, gets you there, one no stops you, is because there is value in both of those perspectives. And it is not comfortable, and it is often painful and emotional to have these debates and discussions. But the reason that both of us play a role is because there is value in having that tension between the municipal interests, the very localist of interests, and the county's point of view. And I think that we as county board supervisors tonight, on this night, when we are voting on this very important document, need to remember the role that we are charged with playing as county representatives in keeping that balance of power and the checks and balance system that has been charged to us.
Tom Rupp.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd kind of like to take the analogy of a warning buzzer and maybe even the analogy, Mr. Chair, that you have advised us about, that we have 40 minutes to go, and say that the game strategy that we're talking about here does not end when the clock winds down and goes to zero, as it will in a basketball game. You'd be really upset with a basketball coach that didn't pay attention to the clock and realize where he was vis-a-vis the end of the game. In this case, what we're talking about is trying to create an opportunity to have the game go on forever in a very smooth fashion. And I will then echo what Supervisor Kopanky said, is these guidelines are supposed to be there to advise, warn, whatever word we want to use, the county and the township staff who are paying attention, that they're approaching this point when they will need to talk about it. Reviewed and updated are the words that we have right there. And it is merely planning ahead, which I hope is what we're all anxious to do, to make a smooth transition, to arrive at next year and the 5 years after with forethought and with good numbers that we have talked to everybody about, and intergovernmental cooperation is exactly what this particular list is all about, and I support it.
Mr. Schrader?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to reiterate, the Department of Administration says that the comprehensive plan is supposed to be from the bottom up. We're imposing these guidelines, I guess that's the terminology now, on these townships, and they should be the ones that know what their township wants.
Speak up a little bit there.
You're having a hard time hearing me?
Marianne is, yes. We're recording it.
Is this working?
That's better.
All right, should I start over, or you want to go with the ball game? Well, they're up there talking.
They're talking about future amendments. You've got the
floor. All right, to start all over again, the Department of Administration says that these guys, everything, this comprehensive plan is supposed to be from a bottom-up approach. The guidelines are being imposed on the townships by the county, which is a from the top-down approach. Still can't hear me? All right. And to answer Mr. Kopanky's question, I think the townships should be able to signal a warning buzzer or what timeout or whatever for development when they want no more.
Any other discussion? Vicki?
Just a reminder, and the previous speaker was on the steering committee. This particular part of the comprehensive plan was passed by this board in June of 2007 with these thresholds in it. At that time, there didn't seem to be any concern about it. Nothing had been expressed, and it passed easily at that time, and now it seems to be a problem. I think the guidelines, and agree with Supervisor Kopanky about the fact that it is just a warning. You don't wait until you have only 10 acres left or whatever. It does level the playing field for all of the towns, and I do not support removing it.
Mr. Sobranik?
Call the question.
Is there a second? Number of seconds. Mr. Meyer? All in favor of closing the debate, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Debate's closed on the amendment. Mr. Shepherd is going to explain the yes and no on this Amendment B.
Do they have it on their desk?
They should have, yes. It's in the packet.
Okay.
If you vote what it means, if you vote for it, if you vote against it, what it means.
If, assuming that what's on the floor right at the moment is Amendment B, if you vote for this, the residential threshold now guidelines would be out. Amendment B includes just, take a look at it, this would be how the ordinance would read on page 121. Does everybody understand that it only includes the non-residential? It does not include the residential. That's Amendment B. Amendment A, however, has the residential and not the non-residential. So if you, I understand B is on the floor right now. So if you pass B, the residential is gone. The non-residential remains.
Reversed.
No, look at it.
You got commercial and residential.
If you vote for B, the commercial stays in.
Look
at
it.
If you vote against this B, the commercial comes out. Right?
No. If, please, everybody, look at B. The amendment, in other words, B, the page 121 would read as printed on page, on the amendment B. Does everybody see that?
Point
it
of information.
It does not include the residential. It does include the non-residential. That's Amendment B. So if you don't want that, vote it down. If you want it, vote for it.
We got two posts tonight, A and B. Let's take one at a time.
Okay.
One is commercial and the other one's residential.
We're on B.
All right,
we're on B.
Does everybody understand that?
The next one will vote on the residential. But
Mr. Chairman,
this one here, if you approve B, it leaves the commercial guidelines in.
Yes.
If you vote no, it takes the commercial guidelines out.
Non-residential.
It takes them out.
You should.
I have a suggestion, Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
The suggestion is if the supervisor would turn to page 14 and then look at the amendment, you can see what would be on page 14 if you would pass Amendment B, correct? Page 14 of the land use plan under the land use.
But that's not the ordinance. I know, but I'm just trying to clarify. You're going to confuse everybody.
I don't want to confuse anybody.
The ordinance. If you support Ray, you vote yes. If you support Terry, you vote no. Okay.
On the computer. You got a question? Sharon, if you vote yes, you leave the commercial guidelines in. If you vote no, they come out. It's the way it.
Vote no if you.
This is B. Ray.
Mr. Chairman, point of order.
Just quiet down.
Okay, let me try once again. When we amend things, what we say is the ordinance is amended to read as we have printed on this sheet. So you understand that if you vote yes for Amendment B, this is how the ordinance is going to read. Does that help you?
But
Mr. Chairman, I need a clarification. Is what Mr. Shepherd saying that you either want the guidelines to look like this with just the one thing in it?
Right.
Or you, and if you, so if you vote, see now I voted no because I thought I was supposed to do it that way if I wanted to keep them.
Yeah, the if you don't want some of the.
If I don't want it to look like this, I say no.
If you don't want it to look like this, vote no.
Yeah. Okay, that's an idea. Mr. Chairman, I think it would clarify to say if that's what the threshold would look like, just that one thing in it. If you want two things in it, then you have to vote no on this one, right? Right.
The motion is
point of information.
Just wait a minute.
Okay.
George?
Can we try something here?
Okay.
Okay. We have guidelines. All right, think of the guidelines. We have guidelines as is. Okay?
Right.
Yeah. We have guidelines removing non-residential. Okay? We have guidelines removing residential. And we have no guidelines. Okay, do you understand? So A is everything.
No, it isn't.
No.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Number one.
Number one is everything stays in to these guidelines. Number two is the non-residential.
Which is B.
Stays in to the guidelines.
That's B.
Number three,
Charlie. Charlie.
So
we're
you vote.
Talking about Amendment B here.
Okay.
The way Amendment B reads, right. If you approve Amendment B, there are commercial guidelines.
No.
That's right.
Yes. Yes.
Now wait.
Yes.
There are commercial guidelines.
Only.
If you vote no, there are no commercial guidelines.
Point of order, Mr. Chair.
Residential we will take up next.
Mr. Chair, point of order. Could we use the non-residential phraseology that's there? Because non-residential could include industrial or a lot of other things besides only commercial. So when we say commercial, we in fact are making a change to this that hasn't been agreed upon or discussed.
Point of information.
Non-residential could be any of those things.
Point of information. The original motion has two sets of guidelines. The Amendment B wishes to remove one of those sets of guidelines. Amendment A wishes to remove the other set of those guidelines. So what's on the floor right now is an amendment to the original motion which removes the residential column of guidelines. So if you vote yes for the amendment, you are voting yes to remove the residential set of guidelines.
Okay. You got that? If you want the residential guidelines...
If Mr. Chairman, point of information. So if you want both of them to stay, you vote no on both. Is that correct? Right.
Can you redo my computer?
You better erase and vote again.
Marion, same thing with me.
Yes, we're revoting.
Yes.
Vote. I did. I clicked. I just... Margaret?
No, it doesn't take the commercial office.
That's not what it does. This is what it would say. This passage, this is how it would be.
Yeah.
It doesn't take
and
the commercial
if you,
off.
Well, if you vote no, it's not in there.
If you vote no, then we're back.
12 yes and 20 no.
Okay, we're back to the original.
We're at the original way it was. Now the other amendment we had was Amendment A. Is there any discussion on Amendment A? Nobody. Hearing none, we'll vote on it.
No, nobody's moved it.
But it was last month. It was moved last month. It was brought on last month, and Steve said the amendments will be voted on this month.
I don't. Who moved it and seconded it? You better have somebody move and second it if they want.
Okay.
We didn't do the last one, Bill.
Because Steve said last
time. George, I think somebody's got to move and second it.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's not on the floor.
Moved by Mr. Bina on number 8. Is there a second? By Mr. Ebert.
Okay, can I
second
this one? Okay. With a certain amount of fear, I will try this. Okay, if you already... Yes vote, it would read as Amendment A states. A no vote, it would go back to the original ordinance.
Mr. Gary.
I'll make it simple. I move to table it.
No.
Because then you can just vote for tabling.
Is there a second to tabling? Mr. Schrader seconded it. All those in favor of tabling say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
It's failed. No votes, raise your hand. On tabling. Let's do it on the computer. All those in favor of tabling the amendment, vote on the computer. Okay, the amendment. Oh. I don't know. Now hold it. Something's wrong here. Okay. All of those, you want a roll call or just? Marion would like to know who voted yes to table the amendment.
No, just withdraw your table.
No.
Those that voted yes, please raise your hand. Mr. Geary, Mr. Kyle, Mr. Schrader, and Mrs. Richmond. The motion to table has failed. We're back to the amendment as presented. Is there any discussion on that? Hearing none or seeing no hands, we will vote on the computer on Amendment A.
George, you're going on the flame of glory.
No.
You've got 8 votes.
consent. The amendment has failed, eight yeses and 23 noes. Are there any other amendments? Mr. Bina.
I have an amendment which is in section 3105, paragraph 8B4, whereby I'm changing one word to keep the current with the municipal actions of La Crosse County. We'll update the La Crosse County future land use map at least quarterly. That's my amendment. In the plan, we have annually with possibly exceptions. And what the Town Board Association, nine...
Point of order, it needs a second before he discusses.
Nine townships voted for this, and they're asking for quarterly...
Put it on the floor.
All right. I move that we change the word annually to quarterly.
Second by Mr. Schrader. Mr. Bina.
And it was voted by nine township committees, and there were nine at the meeting, and they were asking for this to be done on a quarterly basis.
You want to go through this quarterly? Vicki.
Mr. Chairman, I think quarterly would require a great deal of staff time and investment in staff time, because that would involve, I would think, informational meetings, other things. I think quarterly is really not necessary.
Mr. Bina.
We do it monthly right now.
Tom?
I'd just like to ask a question of the proposer of this amendment. It says the way he'd like it to read is to say we will update the land use map at least quarterly. So is he wanting us to go through the process of updating this map, even if there are no townships with input or information or requests of change to their own plans? Is that his intent, that we do that?
If I might, Mr. Chairman, if a township doesn't have anything happening within that township, the maps, the plan, the whole thing would stay the same. If there is a change requested, that change would be brought up on a quarterly basis for review, because it would not be a item that would be in the plan. It would have to be outside of the plan. Therefore, the way we had it before, it would be annually with certain conditions. We could make an exception. Now we are saying quarterly.
Mr. Elk?
Then as a follow-up to that, I'd like to suggest either this amendment needs to be reworded to permit not addressing it if there are no inputs from the towns, or my preference would be to leave it as annually, and if the towns bring it to us quarterly and they have done their work and they explain it, then my 2 years on PR&D committee, which isn't as much as Mr. Bina's, has made me believe that we're entirely flexible enough to respond to those requests from the towns.
Tara?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I heard the proposer say a one-word change from annually to quarterly. Right now, we can amend as frequently as we want. It simply says at least annually. And to me, that is a sufficient enough threshold for us to use in reviewing this plan.
Any other discussion? Okay, on the computer. On the amendment to change from annually to quarterly. Eight yeses and 24 noes. The amendment has failed. We're on the original ordinance as presented. Mr. Hansen.
Please, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've been waiting a long time for this. This is something that I just got a question about. As you know, I also serve on another board. When the comprehensive plan, somebody say, whoa, hope there ain't no horses in here. When the comprehensive plan come forward to us, I said, why are we doing when that comprehensive plan come in, it come with a cover ordinance. And I made the statement, why are we doing it with a cover ordinance when La Crosse County is doing it and they're putting the whole darn county plan into an ordinance form? So we did some going and some investigation. The Department of Administration has stated there's only one municipality that will adopt its comprehensive plan in an ordinance form. That happens to be La Crosse County. I got an email here from Bob Rood, who is one of the people that worked on our comprehensive plan, and he said that the DOT Comprehensive Planning Division states that to satisfy the comprehensive grant agreement, we only need to adopt an ordinance referencing the subject comprehensive plan and is not required by grant agreement to draft the comprehensive plans form. He said to draft the comprehensive plan in ordinance form versus by reference would seem to create unusual challenges. You know, how would you annex all the maps? Annexes be addressed? It would seem that there would be reference by net. If there is any case, why would one want to separate the plan in the ordinance segment, particularly want to create a disjointed and cumbersome ordinance that it would not even require to do so? Typical ordinance of this type are adopted with reference to certain documents. And it says, in my personal opinion, I have never encountered a community adopting a comprehensive plan in ordinance format. The DOD grant agreement does not require such action. So I guess I'm asking, why did the County of La Crosse spend the time, the effort, and the energy to put this whole thing in an ordinance form when all we had to do was put a cover ordinance on it and adapt it in the form that it was presented in? Because that form was what everybody else is doing in the state of Wisconsin.
Mr. Shepard?
One of the difficulties I think in adopting the document that was presented by the consultant was the lack of numbering of pages and sections, and it was my judgment that when we pass an ordinance, which is one of the factors of that's stated in the statute, that it should look like an ordinance that is a part of the La Crosse County Code of Ordinances. We didn't change the language of the plan that was presented. What we merely did was enumerate the sections consistent with the Code of Ordinances that presently exist. So it will provide for ease of reference in the future. We are not going to pass, or we are not going to publish the entire code. We have a one-page document that's included with your ordinance that will be published in the paper. The document is available for review in the clerk's office. It's also available for review online. So it's the document that was presented in draft form. But it's just merely contains the numbering that we customarily apply to all county ordinances. So if somebody else does it differently, you know, go for it. But I felt that this was a way to preserve this for the future and provide for easy reference. That's the reason.
I don't know what copy Mr. Shepard got, but my copy of comprehensive plan has got page numbers in it, it's got headings, it's got chapters in it. It's got a table of contents, and looking through the code to ordinance, the only thing I saw different was there was a lot of little numbers added to it, and basically it's the same darn thing, except it seems to have taken an awful long time to do it, and I just want to know, you know, why we are the only ones to do it. I guess I understand that somebody just wanted to do it this way, but I would think that we spent a lot of money and time and effort on something that we didn't really have to do.
With all due respect, Mr. Hansen, I guess that's my call as corporation counsel in drafting ordinances. So I felt that it would provide this board with an easier reference in the future. So that's the only reason. that it was done in that fashion. It certainly is a document that was presented from the committee.
Mr. Bina?
Just a short comment. You know, I had a discussion with Dane County Supervisor about their document. Their complicated county document has 174 pages in it. We have 276 or something like that. The word he told me was keep it simple, stupid, because the more verbiage you put in, the more conflicts you're going to have originating. And I just think we have a complicated version. And you heard the discussion here, you know. You guys don't want to listen to the town boards anymore. I can see that, because those are the recommendations presented by those guys, and they did study the document in January and February, and those were their recommendations. And we have a lot of excess verbiage in our plan, which is going to cause some problems.
Your Billings.
Thank you. I am on the committee that helped create this plan, and I think it's a kind of appropriate, as I read in the paper, that this is Sunshine Week, that we're voting on this at a time when the press is highlighting open, good government. We did a thorough process of talking to everyone in the county. We divided the county up into six subgroups, as everybody knows. There were people on town boards at those meetings. We had people from town boards sit on our committee that came up with this plan. I think staff did an incredible job of explaining this to people and getting input, and I'm proud of the work we've done. I'm proud of this document.
Mr. Schrader.
Is the plan on the table right now?
Yes.
We're ready to vote on it. Well, I'm going to make a motion to defer this for 1 year, because everything to me, from everything I've heard tonight, is about as clear as mud for most of these people. I was on that thing for 2 years also, and there are a lot of questions that the townships have brought forth after we spent all this time on it, and a lot of those issues that they brought forth are very, very pertinent to this plan. The county was supposed to fold.
You made a motion to defer. Is there a second?
All right. I need a second.
Mr. Ursham seconded. Now it's open for discussion.
Thank you. I was a little ahead of myself. As I said before, the comprehensive planning is supposed to be from the bottom up. We did it exactly opposite. We did it from the top down. The county is supposed to fold the town plans into their plan. They are going to take the town plans into consideration by reference only. What does that mean? It means they don't have to really pay much attention to it. I said, what does that mean? That doesn't really mean that they have to pay any attention to the town plan. Incorporated villages and cities can change their plans at any time. Why not the towns and incorporate that are unincorporated? They will affect the roads just as much as the unincorporated places. Also, there's some questions on the PDR program that's being proposed in here. From what I've read, it's really a purchase of an easement to the property at the taxpayer's expense. Why were there no definitions of terms and clarifications in the plan? The plan is very complex with a lot of hidden meanings.
Jeff.
It need not be rushed.
Jeff.
Yes.
We're talking on referral now.
Yes, I'm talking about it. What do you want me to do now? Oh, no, I'm talking on it. I'm talking on reasons to refer.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm done.
Mr. Geary.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. from the discussions we've had lately, I can see La Crosse County is moving faster than some of the townships are moving. We've got the advantage because we've got a full-time department. The town board members are part-time, and there are a lot of issues for them to work through. And by the correspondence I've been receiving lately, I think many people living in these townships are just beginning to understand how the comprehensive plan will affect them. You know, we talk about local control with the state and federal government, and I'd prefer some sort of buy-in or consensus from the townships before approving any plan. If we approve the plan tonight, then all we're going to be doing is imposing our will on the townships. This is not local control, and we'll surely have more problems down the road. So I'll support the motion to refer this.
Vicki Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I served on the steering committee. 30 months is what we spent on it. There were 6 subgroups, and there were 5 meetings for each one of those subgroups, and there was a survey. And to say that the plan was not bottom-up, I think, is just really an error, because I went to many of those meetings, and we, the staff worked very diligently to get the information out so that we would get the largest number possible. The same way with the surveys, and they were on both the computer as well as sending out to people. Just a real effort, I think, and several times at the committee meetings, we went over what was said at the meetings and changed things in the comp plan according to what we had heard at some of those meetings. So the slopes, that was one that I remember specifically about wanting to have a 20%, but then putting in language which still considered it up to the 30% because there was some concern about it. So I certainly disagree with the fact that it was top down. It is. I attended many of those meetings, and they were an attempt to have that kind of input from people.
Mr. Hersham?
Thank you. Well, quite frankly, the reason I second that motion on the referral was a good one, I thought, because, number one, this comprehensive plan does not have to be okayed until 2010, and there's also work out on the state level to change that to 2015. So what's our hurry? There's only one state that's really got that now. It's Oregon, and they tell me that's in big trouble. Now, if anybody really is interested in this comprehensive plan, and I really sympathize with these people. I worked on it for 2.5 years because it is complicated. And I just got into the act here lately. I went to a meeting here at West Salem the other night, and the whole board should have been there. That was quite an eye-opener. And I think this thing should be deferred, because there's absolutely no sense on voting it tonight. Thank you.
Mrs. Woods.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to quote from one of the letters. It says, "We eagerly began attending town meetings and comprehensive planning meetings. We were pleased at the amount of community involvement and professional consult and legal advice from many entities that went into the comprehensive plan." So all of our citizens have had plenty of time to get on board. It has been going on for 30 months. If some people just found out about it, we can't possibly make sure that every citizen in our county knows everything. They have to take some responsibility in finding out and following it, too. So I think we've got great information from our citizens that they have had an opportunity to participate, and we are ready to go with this.
Sarah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Adopting the town plans by reference does not mean that we will not pay attention to them. It means the exact opposite. It means we respect and honor the work that you have done as a town on your town board, and we take that and put it with our document of equal value, that your town plan is important and this county comprehensive plan is important. So to infer that by reference is some slighting of town plans is not accurate, first and foremost. As to the point of doing a bottoms-up approach, this has been absolutely a bottoms-up approach. There are several towns that already have their plans done, and they have walked on a parallel path with us. So to ask to refer this now, in my opinion, is an act of cowardice. This is our plan. This is our plan. We have worked for 30 months on this, and to refer it to some other group of elected officials that will follow us does not reflect the work that this body has done. This is our document, and to wait a day or a month or a year is to push off that responsibility that we took on in developing this comprehensive plan, and I encourage you to vote against referral of any length.
Ann Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll have to agree that since it doesn't have to be implemented until 2010 and the state may, I don't think you have to be a Rhodes Scholar to realize that there is still a lot of controversy around the comprehensive plan and a lot of questions. I mean, just this meeting tonight demonstrates that. So I don't really see a problem in waiting and getting things clarified a lot more than they are right now as to what we really want the comprehensive plan to be.
Leon Paff.
Thank you. Yes, I agree with what Ann just said here, because one more year, if that does get it right, it makes better feelings also between the county so that the towns don't feel like they're getting shoved down their throat. Give them time to work into it. Some of them feel like we are pushing them around. And we got to remember, it's not our plan. It's the county and the township's plan. It's all the citizens. It's not just this county board's plan that we want shoved down anybody. We want. Let's take time and get it right. That's all. Thank you,
Mr. Menninger.
Call the question. Second.
Motion for the question by Mr. Menninger, seconded by Mr. Meyer. Roll call. What? But made the motion to close debate.
Is this on closing debate?
I'm trying to keep it straight. What? You want to close debate on referral? Say yes. If you don't, say no. Yeah. Sharon, you vote? Yes. 26 yes, 5 no. Debate is closed. We're on the motion to refer it for 1 year on the computer. Yes, if you want to refer it. No, if you don't. Motion to referral has failed on a 14-18 vote. We're back to the original ordinance as presented. Mr. Ebert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, they're watching this this evening. It appears to me that the majority of our county board members only want development in the cities and villages and are not particularly because of roads and all that,
And I just think that's not really the way to go. So I'm going to be voting against the entire process.
Seeing no other hands, we'll vote on Mr. Geary.
I do have a question. Well, there was something in the plan there, well, about environmental corridors. What is that? If you have a farm, for instance, in one of these, what can or can't you do with your farm?
Charlie?
Does it mean anything, or what does it mean? I didn't catch that, what that meant.
The county plan has not adopted any specified environmental corridors. The environmental corridors are a tool in the toolbox that's put in the plan so that each town can use it as they're drafting their individual plans.
I mean, is it ever going to come up on a rezoning?
If a town uses an environmental corridor in their individual plan,
will the county bring
maybe.
It up? I mean, if the town
the county
doesn't.
Does not have environmental corridors in our plan. We haven't delineated any.
Okay, so the only ones that could bring up that concern then would be a township?
That's correct, in the town plan.
And on that PDR, you brought in a resolution. It got yanked. As my understanding, administratively, we're doing nothing on it now. And won't do anything on it till it went to a referendum? Is that what the status of that is?
The status in this plan, this plan says to investigate that. Explore.
Well,
and what happened at your vote was you voted to table?
No, I think the administrator asked it to be yanked off the table, so we didn't vote on it.
Okay.
It was getting so many questions that night, I don't think it was good.
So
my guess was it wasn't going to pass. Okay. But I don't know why you'd be working on something until a resolution came back that got approved. Since you brought one in and it probably wasn't going to get approved, why would we still be spending administrative time on it unless we approve a resolution?
Before there's any money spent on that, it would have to come back to the full board to do it.
Right, but are we wasting or spending administrative time? What would we be doing on it? Until we pass the resolution?
Nothing. Nothing.
Nothing.
Mr. Bina?
Well, just the point, George. The county board supervisor from Dane County, when I asked the question of him, they do in one township appropriate money toward a PDR program, and it's 50 cents per thousand of tax dollars collected in that township. So the township could do something if they wanted.
That's right.
Or the towns association could do something, or you could get some extra money and then implement a program, but without money you're not going to implement the program.
Right. Seeing no other hands, we'll vote on the ordinance as presented. If you want a favor of the ordinance and the comprehensive plan, vote yes. If you're not, vote no. The ordinance has passed 19-12 with one abstention. Executive Committee.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we go into closed session pursuant to Wisconsin State Statute Section 19.85, Parent 1, Parent G, conferring with legal counsel for the governmental body who is rendering oral or written advice concerning strategy to be adopted by the body with respect to litigation in which it is or is likely to become involved, to wit the claim of Jeremiah Scheffelbein.
This should only take a few minutes for the public that's here. This should not take very long. We need a second. Seconded by Ms. Gamroth. All in favor of going to closed session, say aye. Opposed? Carried unanimously. Jill's leaving. Have fun.
Okay, I'll do this quickly. This is a claim by a jail inmate.
Service. I move its approval.
Is there a second? Seconded by Vicki. Discussion? All in favor? Opposed?
No.
Mr. Menninger is opposed. Carried with one no. Mr. Spiker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Item 18-3, approved unanimously by Public Works Committee, approval of household hazardous material program fees, whereas La Crosse County has operated a household hazardous materials collection program since 2003, whereas HHM has provided fee-based service to non-county residents, area business, and residents, electronics recycling only. Whereas the fees charged are based upon disposal cost and percentage markup depending upon specific waste stream of the specific materials. Whereas hazardous waste materials disposal market is volatile, where the price of La Crosse County pays to dispose or collect the material waste often changes quickly. Whereas it is in the best interest of La Crosse County to have the ability to pass or increase costs or decrease costs to customers. Now, therefore, it be resolved that the La Crosse County Board hereby authorize the HHM program to charge fees within the existing policy and within the cost range provided in the attached price list. It further resolved that the La Crosse County Board here rescinds that part of Resolution 0911-7, which set HHM fees for non-county residents and business inconsistent with this resolution. Fiscal note, revenue from these fees pays for the cost of the HHM program. The updated fee range will need to approve annually by the La Crosse County Board. I move for approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second by Mr. Plesha. Discussion? Mr. Hansen?
Thank you, George. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I got one question. As I look at this, you're talking about like acids and bases. You're going to go from a 50 cents to a $5, correct? So you can go anywhere within that range?
That's correct.
Then what are you looking at? Say that, what kind of a markup have you got on the cost that is causing us? Are you talking about If it's going to cost us a dollar to dispose of it, you're going to charge a dollar dime or a dollar and a quarter? Is there a set markup that you're looking at, or is it just going to be fluid?
No, it's my understanding that, again, the reason that solid waste requested this resolution is because the market on many of this stuff is so it fluctuates so often. To be honest with you, I can't answer your specific question.
Okay, it'd be interesting to have an answer to that. Can you answer it?
My understanding in the discussion, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Chairman from Public Works, was that the concept was to provide flexibility so if the pricing goes down, that we don't charge more than necessary to just cover costs. It's our goal to just cover the cost of providing the service, and in fact, this got started because of some particular fees that they could drop in cost and save the public money and still allow that to happen. So the ranges allow staff to be able to do that, to only recover costs but charge no more than necessary to make sure to encourage people to come and use our
service.
And
that's the basis you're going to do this.
That's the basis for doing this.
And I can support it.
Any other discussion? All in favor of the resolution as presented, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried unanimously.
Mr. Chairman, a point of personal privilege.
Yes.
I am pleased with the fact that we recognized members of the board who would be leaving. I would like to personally recognize Bernie Maney, who served on the Judiciary and Law Committee, and I served with him ever since I came on the board in 2000, and his work in that area. And secondly, Supervisor Belzer, he's been invaluable on the Judiciary and Law Committee because of his background, his legal background, and his ability to, you know, really add to the discussion, and I'm going to miss that. So I just wanted to recognize both of those individuals from Judiciary and Law.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Bean has got one announcement here.
I thank you, Mr. Chair. It's short. There is a tour of the Coon Creek watershed, a day program at working out of the American Legion down at Coon Valley on April 25th. There'll be a number of presentations. There'll be a meal at noon, and there'll be a bus tour of the hills of the Coon Creek watershed in the afternoon. But you need to register. There's no cost that I know of to this, but you need to possibly give me a call if you want to go on that tour.
Thank you. Steve,
I have one very quick announcement. I neglected to mention that Noreen Krosky provided us forms that are out on the desk next to the cupcakes. that's for stimulus payments. What that means are if you've got constituents that qualify for these but didn't have a large taxable income, there are forms for people to be able to fill out. They can either get them directly from our Department on Aging, or if you know of somebody or constituent, a neighbor, a family member that doesn't have a large income but still has to file the form to be able to get it. There are extra forms out there. It's highlighted. And, of course, Noreen's office can help you with that. So you may get constituents that are asking about that. Again, it's the federal stimulus payments. Not if you didn't file a regular tax form, you won't qualify. So please do that.
Any items for future agendas? Mr. Ursham?
Yeah, I just want to make one comment before I call for adjournment. I would just like to say I'm a little bit ashamed of the way the board conducted a meeting here tonight. I think we can do better than that. I'm glad I don't have any relatives out in the audience.
I'll make it more than
that. Motion to adjourn. Seconded by J.C. Grandmoth. All in favor say aye. Opposed. Carried unanimously.
And the Badgers are down 10-6, so don't feel bad about it.
I'm glad it's over.
For you, yes. Not for you, no. I can do many things at once.